Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Pro Boxing's heavyweight division currently features three undefeated champions. You often need a thorough scorecard when it comes to all the alphabet sanctioning bodies in boxing. So let's break it down for our VOA fight fans. Anthony Joshua holds three of the heavyweight title belts awarded by the IBF, the WBA, and the IBO. Joshua has won all 20 of his prize fights, with his most recent victory last month in Cardiff, Wales, where he stopped Cameroon-born challenger Carlos Takam in the 10th round. Deontay Wilder is the WBC heavyweight champion. Wilder is coming off a first-round knockout win 5 days ago against the Haitian-Canadian Berman Stiverne in New York City. It was Wilder's 39th consecutive victory. And Joseph Parker is the WBO heavyweight champion. The New Zealand boxer has won all 24 of his fights, with his most recent victory in September against Britain's Huey Fury, a cousin of former heavyweight champion Tyson Fury, in Manchester, England. With three different champions and a handful of alphabet-sanctioning bodies, unifying the heavyweight title in 2018 might be challenging, but it could happen. Parker's promoter, David Higgins, says he's been in contact recently with Anthony Joshua's promoter.
Eddie Hearn and I started gently exchanging emails, a week ago or whatever, and then we sort of agreed a couple of days ago. He said, he'll go to, I said, go talk to Anthony. He said, he'll talk to Anthony Joshua. I said, I'll talk to Joseph Parker. So we both sort of connected again yesterday, and my message was Parker would fight Joshua next, and Hearn's message was Anthony Joshua would fight Parker next. So it's really down to a question of the deal and money.
As David Higgins tries to work out the deal and money, he says he also hasn't ruled out Joseph Parker fighting Deontay Wilder.
Wilder's also an option. Now, Camp did have some communication with Wilder, and again, if the Wilder crew put the right amount of money on the table, and we do talk to Al Heyman and Lou DiBella, if they put the right amount of money on the table, we'd segue that way and go Wilder instead of Joshua. So I guess, and Eddie should understand all of this, and if he puts a fair and reasonable deal on the table, then we might be in business.
David Higgins spoke at a news conference in Auckland, New Zealand, Joseph Parker's birthplace. Also at the news conference was Parker's trainer, Kevin Berry, who made a few verbal jabs at Anthony Joshua.
Now, talking about Joshua, I just want to say that his performance against Carlos Takam really puts everything into perspective now. A lot of people over the last 12 months have looked at Joe's performances, and because we haven't knocked our last couple of opponents out for various reasons, have said, oh, Anthony Joshua will just walk across the ring and knock Joseph Parker out. Now, when we saw Eddie Hearn, which I thought was a tremendous bit of promotional work, signing Takam on 12 days' notice, a guy that has been widely known in boxing circles, had done no sparring whatsoever, had tested Anthony Joshua right to the end. We all saw how gassed Joshua was. We all saw that Joshua could not hurt Takam, and it was a very, very promoter-friendly stoppage. That fight showed me once again that Anthony Joshua is very, very beatable. He definitely has a stamina problem. He definitely cannot knock you out with one punch. It's a guy who has to put several big, heavy punches together. He's very robotic. He doesn't have a very good selection of lead patterns. And I think the guy is there for the taking, and I want us to get in front of him before someone else beats him.
That's Kevin Berry, the trainer for WBO heavyweight champion Joseph Parker, and he was speaking in Auckland, New Zealand. Anthony Joshua's victory over Carlos Takam came 6 months after AJ scored a spectacular 11th round TKO against former world champion Vladimir Klitschko at Wembley Stadium in London. Joshua Klitschko has been touted as a possible Fight of the Year candidate. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, let's look back on Anthony Joshua's exciting triumph. Joshua knocked down Klitschko three times, including twice in the 11th round, before the referee stepped in and stopped the fight. The 41-year-old Klitschko, a longtime former world heavyweight champion, says he feels like boxing fans got their money's worth.
I think it was a good fight, and I think that audience, fans did enjoy it. I wish I would have been a winner of tonight's contest, tonight's fight. AJ did a good job.
In the fifth round, it looked like AJ, Anthony Joshua, might finish the job. He knocked down Klitschko for the first time and threw his arms up. Maybe a bit too early of a celebration, the Ukrainian got up and launched a remarkable comeback. Afterwards, Anthony Joshua paid tribute to Klitschko.
He's been dominant for the last decade and a bit, as well aware of, very dominant, to say. And he took a loss against Tyson Fury. And what I kept on hearing is the obsession and the passion to get the victory. So I always knew I was going to come against the new and improved Klitschko, because sometimes from a loss you do learn from your mistakes and try and come better. So I think that he came to show what he was about, that he still had it. But I knew it was going to be tough for him to kind of show what he was about, because I wanted to do the same. I wanted to go in there and be confident. But maybe against anyone else in the division, he may have come out on top. As I said, I have the ultimate respect for him and what he's achieved inside and outside of the ring. But I wouldn't mind fighting him again if he wants to rematch, no problem. And well done to him, because he took part. He doesn't have to fight. People say he's too old. He doesn't have to fight, but he wants to challenge the young lions of the division. So big respect to Klitschko for that as well, because it takes two to tango.
Anthony Joshua was not the only one praising Vladimir Klitschko for his performance. Associated Press boxing writer Joe DiPaolo wrote, and I quote, "Vladimir Klitschko in defeat proved mightier than he ever had in victory." In the sixth round, Vladimir Klitschko knocked Joshua to the canvas for the first time in his professional career, and it looked like he might reclaim the world heavyweight title belts. Klitschko says at that point, he thought he would beat Joshua.
He managed to get up. Respect. And, from that moment, I kind of felt that he's out of gas and in concentration. And he recovered, though, through the rounds. I think I could have done more to finish him up, maybe, right after when he went down. But I was pretty sure that that's going to be my night, so I took my time.
AJ also called out former champion Tyson Fury after his big win, and unbeaten WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder has also been mentioned as a possible opponent for Joshua, so we'll wait and see. Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, sent me a Facebook message from Owerri, Imo State, Nigeria. Magnus writes, "Big congratulations to Anthony Joshua for beating Vladimir Klitschko in stunning fashion." Magnus says, "I think both fighters lived up to expectations, and I think this should be the biggest achievement for Anthony Joshua in 2017. And Magnus adds, big kudos to both guys for keeping it simple and civil in their statements, both before and after this great fight.
Hello, this is Magnus Chisholm in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus Chisholm in Nigeria. I'm wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten our way, if you keep on the sunny side of life. All right, Roy. Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Keep counting them down, Ray. German midfielder Julian Gressel of Atlanta United has been named Major League Soccer's Rookie of the Year. The 23-year-old Gressel appeared in 32 matches for Atlanta United and had 9 assists, third most for a rookie in league history. Julian also had 5 goals. Atlanta United finished 4th in the Eastern Conference in MLS, becoming the first expansion team to make the playoffs since 1998. The new club in Atlanta also proved very popular among soccer fans in the 1996 Olympic City. Atlanta United set both single-game and single-season attendance records in Major League Soccer. It twice broke the single-match mark, with the current record of 71,874 fans set last month in a game against Toronto FC at Atlanta's new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Meanwhile, Atlanta finished the season with more than 819,000 tickets sold, well above the league's single-season record of just over 752,000 set in 2015 by the Seattle Sounders. The Sounders are the defending MLS champions, and they're one of 4 clubs left in the league's playoffs. The Sounders will play the Houston Dynamo in the Western Conference Finals, and the Columbus Crew will take on Toronto FC in the Eastern Conference Finals. Both series begin November 21st, and they'll be played over 2 legs. In National Basketball Association news, the Boston Celtics remain the hottest club in the league. The Celtics won their 10th consecutive game Wednesday night, beating the visiting Los Angeles Lakers 107-96. Australian center Aaron Baines matched his career high with 21 points for the Celtics, while star guard Kyrie Irving, Boston's prized offseason acquisition, scored 19 points. After losing their first two games to open the season, the Celtics have reeled off 10 consecutive wins and have the NBA's best record. The Lakers, meanwhile, have a record of 5 wins and 6 losses. From Boston, the Lakers are traveling south, and they'll take on my beloved Washington Wizards later Thursday night here in Washington. The Wizards have been more mediocre and less magical to start the new NBA season, with a record of 5 wins and 5 losses. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Oh, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. At the top of the show, I talked about boxing's heavyweight division and how we have all these different sanctioning bodies in the heavyweight division, 3 different champions. But it sounds like a couple of them have issued challenges.
Yes. One of the biggest names in boxing, someone we've talked about on the show before, has a target on his back. And I am talking about none other than Anthony Joshua. Now, earlier this week, the British heavyweight champion found himself facing a challenge from American Deontay Wilder. Wilder issued the challenge in a video on social media where he said, "Anthony Joshua, you know I'm coming for you. Not next year, or the next year after that, or 2020. 2018 is what you should be worried about." Wilder then goes on to say, "You said if the people want it, you want it. Well, the people want it. Do you?" Wilder shared that video on his social media channels with this statement: "No more talking, no more excuses, #WilderJoshua. So Deontay Wilder throwing down the gauntlet there, saying, "I want to face Anthony Joshua, and I want it to be soon." Now, if that weren't enough, Sonny, WBO heavyweight champion Joseph Parker is also now challenging Joshua to a fight. Parker wrote on his Twitter account, "Anthony Joshua, my belt's never for sale, but I'll add you 2 to my collection when you're ready. #NeverBeenDropped. So will either of these fights happen? This has generated a lot of attention on social media. The fans really want it to happen. It seems that the answer is yes, because boxing promoter David Higgins said that they're looking into an Anthony Joshua versus Joseph Parker fight, although he adds that the money and the venue have yet to be determined. But they are talking about it, looking this spring to see Anthony Joshua take on Joseph Parker. No word about the fight with Deontay Wilder, if that'll occur before or after or at all, but lots of social media back and forth causing some action in the boxing world.
I think back to the golden era in the heavyweights, Andrew, with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and Joe Frazier. And we did have a unified champion at one point. Maybe in 2018 we'll have a unified heavyweight division.
Maybe. I mean, certainly with this conversation, getting these fights at least talked about, There could be some conversation about who is the best overall. I think that these boxers would certainly want to vie for that title of being the world heavyweight champion of over everybody. So we'll see if it happens.
Could be a big year. Actually, 2017 has been a very big year in boxing. Maybe 2018 will be even bigger.
Yeah, it's shaping up to be that way. And let's not forget, too, that big McGregor-Mayweather fight, that kind of started with the back and forth on social media. So social media is playing a big role in getting these fights set up and promoting them and causing a lot of talk among the fans.
Well, what else is causing talk among the fans, Andrew, on social media?
A lot of talk about the Ball family. It has not been a good week for them, and is just a refresher for our audience. This is one of the most talked about families in basketball in the U.S. You have Lonzo Ball playing his rookie year for the Los Angeles Lakers. His brother LiAngelo Ball playing college basketball for UCLA this year, starting as a freshman this year at UCLA, one of the top programs in college basketball. And then their youngest brother, LaMelo Ball, he's one of the top high school players in the country. They've gotten a lot of attention because it's pretty rare to have one star basketball player in the family, let alone three.
Mm.
But they've also received a lot of negative attention, as we've talked about on the show before, because of their outspoken father, LaVar Ball, who has made claims like his sons are better than Steph Curry, he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one, some pretty outlandish stuff that he's said, and this kind of marketing scheme to market his sons and their brand. Well, as you mentioned just before I came on air, Lonzo Ball and the LA Lakers got beat by the Boston Celtics last night, so that was not a good night for the Ball family. But on a more serious piece of bad news, the middle child, LiAngelo Ball, is in China on a trip with the UCLA basketball team. They're set to play Georgia Tech in the college basketball season opener this Saturday in China. And LiAngelo Ball, while he was there just outside of Shanghai, he and two of his teammates were arrested and charged with shoplifting. Now, according to authorities there, the three players stole a pair of sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton store near Shanghai. On social media, this is getting a lot of attention and a lot of talk because this family gets a lot of attention and a lot of talk. There's a little bit of a sense of karma that LiAngelo Ball got in trouble for stealing. His father has been so outspoken about how great his family is. So there's a little bit of people saying, well, it's serves him right for boasting so much. One joke that I saw said that before he's even taken the court, LiAngelo Ball's stat line is 0 points, 0 assists, 0 turnovers, and 1 steal. Trying to make a little bit of a joke out of that. But there is a more serious side to the story, because if convicted, LiAngelo and his teammates, Cody Riley and Jaden Hill, could face 3 to 10 years in a prison in China because of this crime. There are reports now that the U.S. State Department has offered to help as the situation unfolds. Even before the college basketball season starts on Saturday, this is capturing a lot of the attention in the college basketball world. LaVar Ball being very outspoken, usually very quiet about this. He said that everything's going to work out and everything's going to be fine. But a lot of eyes are on China and on these players. I think fans, regardless of what they think of the Ball family, are hoping this gets resolved and they are not arrested and detained for a long period of time. But a scary situation there in China.
Andrew, sometimes in the sports world, you hear about sports diplomacy. This was not exactly a positive, sporty, diplomatic move over there in China.
It was not. And it's very interesting timing because President Trump right now is in China on a big swing through Asia. So very interesting. Some people wondering if he might step in to fix this situation. As I mentioned, the State Department said that they would be willing to help. Some fans saying they want to see Donald Trump and LaVar Ball up there at a press conference. They said that would be something to see. But it's also, it sparked a lot of questions, too, about maybe LiAngelo Ball trying to cover up for his teammates, because the Ball family has done pretty well for themselves. They're fairly wealthy because of the brand that they've marketed. And so, certainly Lonzo Ball being in the NBA is making a good chunk of change. So a lot of questions from fans, too, about why they would shoplift and why they would do it in a country that punishes people so severely for those kind of crimes. A lot of question marks to this story. Not a lot of answers so far. I think it's going to continue to develop, and we're going to have to wait and see what happens to LiAngelo and his two teammates.
And one developing story, Andrew. I understand we're going to have a little special guest in the studio on Friday's show.
Yes, very exciting. We'll have to wait and see. Our fans are going to have to tune in and see tomorrow. No spoiling the surprise today.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the November 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The annual pre-harvest agribusiness event in Ghana is recognized as the largest annual gathering of farmers, buyers, manufacturers, government officials, development partners, and financial institutions. It draws private sector investment and encourages the sustainable growth of agribusinesses. Earlier this month, the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, through the U.S. government's Feed the Future initiative, in collaboration with the government of Ghana and AgriHouse Foundation, organized the event to build business relationship around the upcoming 2017 maize, rice, and soybean harvest. In attendance were Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture, Dr. Sagre Bambanji, Northern Regional Minister Honorable Salufu Saeed, and USAID Ghana Agriculture Team Leader Jenna Touchman, who emphasized the importance of expanding economic opportunities for smallholder farmers and unlocking the potential of Ghanaian agribusinesses. The pre-harvest event brought together over 1,000 agribusiness stakeholders across the country to network and learn about the latest technological advances in agriculture. Participants shared lessons learned and identified opportunities and challenges within the sector. The event featured business-to-business sessions as well as an exhibition showcasing improved agricultural equipment, inputs, and services. The event served as a platform to rally agribusiness stakeholders and the private sector to forge partnerships and make strategic investments to spur economic growth. Ms. Touchman shared that, in Ghana, our Feed the Future program aims to expand economic opportunities and boost agricultural productivity. Over 85,000 individuals applied improved technologies and practices on over 72,600 hectares of land. The application of these improved technologies, combined with training and marketing assistance, led to farmer beneficiaries selling produce valued at over $120 million following the 2016 growing season. Now is the time to sustain this momentum and continue making investments that ensure Ghana's progress, especially as Ghana advances the Beyond Aid agenda. The pre-harvest agribusiness event has been held annually since 2010 and was organized through Feed the Future, the U.S. government's Global Hunger and Food Security Initiative. Over the years, the event has linked rural farmers to new market opportunities and gained the support of the private sector. The U.S. is proud to work with Ghana and its private sector partners to expand economic opportunity and agricultural production for the people of Ghana and the Africa region.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles. legends and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.